Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is Roki Sasaki and why is he such a fascinating, intriguing ad to this free agent class? And could the Orioles possibly be involved? Do you need international money? I mean, what are the layers to bringing this guy to the United States?
So the sort of immediate assumption from around baseball is that he'll go to the Dodgers, which is by no means a done deal, but obviously seems like if you had to bet on a place, probably the most likely place. The Dodgers have the most international money for the current period. So it ends on December 15th. He hasn't been posted yet, and posting is 45 days. So if they post him like in the next couple of days, which I don't think is likely, I think it'll probably take a few more weeks. Then whoever has money in the current period is important. The Dodgers have the most. Baltimore has the second most. And there is a bit of a thought process that because Sasaki is not necessarily grew up in a big city, loves the spotlight kind of guy, he might choose sort of a second-tier market, not in L.A., you know, New York, Chicago, you know, wherever that might be. So if he comes over in the current signing period over the next, what would it be, like 33 days, Baltimore would be like right squarely in that conversation. The problem is if he waits to be posted until December 15th, so December 15th till January 15th, he can't sign. That's the sort of dead period. And then January 15th starts the new period. That's when everybody's money gets reset and every team has between $5 and $7.5 million. So everybody's on much more equal footing and he can make an extra $5, $6, $7 million just by waiting a few months and doing nothing, ending up with the same team, going through the whole process, being able to take his time. So the thought is he's probably going to go into that second period, at which point Baltimore's slight advantage they have right now probably goes away. So exactly how that plays out, what he's looking for, nobody really knows. It was also sort of that thought process when Ohtani was a free agent, but also it was limited by who's going to give him $500+ million. That sort of knocked a bunch of teams out. Now everybody's in play. Like, he could go to Tampa Bay. He could go to Cleveland. He could go to Pittsburgh. I mean, I guess supposedly he could go to Oakland or whatever that team's called now. I don't think it's really likely. Baltimore actually has a pretty good pitch. We just don't know what Sasaki is looking for.
No pun intended, of course. Now, he's 23 years old, and reading your column in ESPN a couple of days ago, you have him right behind Juan Soto as the top free agent in this year's class, ahead of Corbin Burns, for instance. Are we looking at Daisuke Masazaka with the what was that crazy pitch, the gyro ball that didn't really last all that long? Or is he like a Yu Darvish, long-time major league-level performer? What's the upside for him as a pitcher coming over here?
So he's interesting to break down because at this point last year, he was a 21-year-old starter that was dominating Japan, that was sitting, averaging 99 with his fastball, has arguably a top five, top 10 splitter in the world, and had a plus slider and threw a lot of strikes. And the only sort of limitations or negatives were the typical sort of 21-year-old that throws hard stuff, which is, oh, he missed a little time with some arm soreness, but no one's really worried. His command isn't that great, but he does throw a lot of strikes, even though he doesn't always execute well. But his stuff's so good, you don't have to worry about it. And then this year, there's a bunch of different theories floating around. His velo was down a little bit. He was averaging 97 instead of 99. The shape of the fastball was a little bit more hittable, but obviously still 97. Splitter still really good. Slider was playing a little closer to average than it was to plus. Strikes were okay. He's still the same guy. You can also look at some of the data and some of the video and see that he changed delivery a little bit. So the assumption is he also missed time with an unspecified arm injury that sounds like it was shoulder soreness. So there's a little bit of an unknown. I think what he basically needs is a full offseason to get fully healthy and then get his delivery back to where it was, and he'll go back to what he was 2 years ago, in which case that guy's right next to Paul Skenes as the best, you know, under 25 pitcher in baseball, one of the best under 25 pitchers we've seen. I think he probably goes right next to Yamamoto, a guy that just has plus stuff across the board and throws a bunch of strikes. And we just saw Yamamoto as a 25-year-old, 2 years older than Sasaki. I mean, he got over $300 million. And we've seen in baseball, we'll see again with Soto, we saw with Machado and Harper when they were free agents. When guys hit free agency in their mid-20s, they get paid on a completely different scale than when guys hit free agency at 28, 29, 30, and Burns is going to be 30 next season. And that's why his contract, even though he's a proven ace, one of the few in baseball, you're bidding on years 30 through 36. And with Sasaki, you're bidding on years 23 through 28. It's a completely different thing if you're going for that same term of contract. Teams will pay so much more for those years because of the certainty.
Kyler McDaniel, ESPN.com, joining us here, Vinny, at 81057 The Fan, talking about free agency in Major League Baseball, which is here. You got the owners' meetings coming up in just a couple of weeks. Now, David Rubenstein, Orioles owner, has given Mike Elias the go-ahead, Kyler, to spend some dough, which you're well aware of. And now how much, that remains to be seen. What Burns projected at 200 mil, et cetera, et cetera. If you're trying to fill out your roster and take it to the next level, you made the playoffs back-to-back years, trying to get their third straight year. The team you're chasing just came off a World Series appearance. What would be prudent money spent? And how does it, you know, how do you get aggressive enough to not overspend and get crazy time here?
Well, with all the talent that's in the upper minors, Kobe Mayo, Samuel Basayo, some guys even coming behind that, I think letting Santander walk and then letting Kerstad and some of those guys fill in that spot, that feels like what Mike Elias wants to do, is to let all those young players breathe, give them an opportunity, see what they can do, rather than paying retail rate for a guy that's, you know, going to be in his 30s. So I assume Santander, unless it's one of those, you know, his market collapses, he signs a one-year deal. Like, there's certainly scenarios where he could come back. I assume he's out the door. And then all the money, based off of like what he was getting paid, how much the payroll goes up, how many more young players are getting, you know, at the league minimum getting put into the payroll, you would then think all that money then goes toward pitching. And again, I don't feel like Mike Elias is the guy that's going to spend $200 million on a pitcher in his 30s. That's just everything I know about him says he's not going to do that. Again, I'm sure they'll make an offer. I'm sure there is a price at which Burns would come back. I assume he will not, just given the precedent of what has gone on around there. But then when you look at, say, Eflin and Rodriguez, what kind of guys are you trying to add? I would assume it's not going to be the $150 million plus the, you know, the Max Fried, maybe the Jack Flaherty. I think it might be more in, say, the Sean Manaea kind of area, or Kikuchi, where it's maybe an older guy, but you can get him for 3 or 4 years for under $100 million. And then I think when you jump down a little bit lower, you then have the guys that you have an opportunity to get some value on, where Shane Bieber, I think he might sign a 2 or 3 year deal. He's going to miss the first half of the season, but might be a number two starter that's in his 20s. Walker Buehler, I think, sort of found his stride toward the end of the season. I thought he was going to get offered and take the QO from the Dodgers at $21 million and change a year. They didn't offer it. I think he might get 3 years for $50 to $60 million. And he's, I think, like the number three starter, like a playoff level starter, the kind of guy Baltimore would want. And I think that'd be a pretty reasonable price. And then I think if you go even lower down, there's some guys like Spencer Turnbull that are maybe in that Ronaldo Lopez area, where they go from starter, a guy that hasn't thrown a lot of innings, that could turn into one of those guys that gives you reliable innings. If you want to go even into the cheaper, like into the, you know, the bargain basket kind of thing, I think if you take that and then look at all of these seventh and eighth inning type guys and throw them into the mix, I think creating depth, both innings for the regular season and then leverage innings in the postseason, I think adding five or six guys is probably what you want to do, and then just push all those fringe guys off the roster and get as much depth as you can, and then just hope you end up with too much pitching, because we know that when you get to the playoffs, really nobody has too much pitching, even if it might look like that when the season starts.
Hey, Kylie, what do you anticipate, like, Juan Soto getting? What about Corbin Burns and Santander, money-wise and years-wise? What do you think?
Soto, I've written a ton about this. I think what Boris is looking for is he has to clear $500 million. I think he wants to clear the, if you adjust for all the deferred money, Otani's deal is valued at roughly 10 times 47, so 470, it might be 471, something like that. I think he wants to go over 500 and over that 47 per year number. Those are the marks he wants to beat. And then it's just a matter of, well, can he get the 11th, 12th, 13th year? I think my projection is he's going to get 13 times that 47 number, which is 611. I think roughly 600 is what everybody's looking at. I think it's going to land somewhere around there. There's a world where you've got three teams competitively bidding where it goes above that. Or if he wants to go with deferrals and he wants to beat that Otani number and get 700, but then defer a bunch of money. There's also a world where there's only two real intense bidders and they kind of look at each other and say, we're not going to get in a bidding war. We're both going to put a number down and then we're going to walk away and he can pick whichever one he wants. In which case, it probably starts with a five, which would be, I think, a bad outcome considering where the expectations are right now. It's kind of unbelievable that that's where it's become. But again, if you look at the history of free agency, the amount of guys that are MVP level position players that hit free agency at 25, 26, 27, it's Juan Soto, it's Bryce Harper, it's Manny Machado, and they all have reset the market. And the market has just really gone northward. And as we've seen with Yamamoto, and I've talked about it with Soto, we're talking about it with Sasaki, the guys that you get the middle of their 20s and you're not bidding on a 30-year-old, teams are getting even more excited to get those guys. Because they get paid close to their market value because you get one every 5 or 6 years and you get to put them on the front of your season ticket renewals. They're the face of the franchise. They're there forever. If you want to sell the team, it makes it easier to sell. Like there's all these additional things that create even more value than I think there was. And I think the value of that, say Pete Alonso, that 31-year-old first base only guy that all of his values with the bat, he could fall off a cliff immediately. Those guys are getting pushed down to where I think the market thinks those guys are, or maybe properly rated.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I did that after being overrated for so long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.